Trevor Siemian gets the call, but will Odell Beckham Jr. what the New Orleans Saints have to do to get a win this weekend against the Atlanta Falcons? And Doug Mouton of WWL TV joins to talk about the Saints wide receiver and quarterback situations, as well as the upcoming game this weekend. We got all that and a little bit of land yap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Don't forget that we're free and available here for you on all platforms, including on YouTube. And thank you so much for making us your first listen of the day every day. I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, Canal Street Chronicles, Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. And today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been a great place for you to be able to drop by and enjoy yourself a nice, tasty, and affordable meal. But they're also an unofficial community center. A big thank you to McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it. Now, you know what else I'm loving? I'm loving the New Orleans Saints right now because we have had ourselves quite a week following this team, and it all starts at the quarterback position. We're going to hit two big topics here to open up the show, and the first of which that I want to kind of talk about is, of course, this quarterback position. Jameis Winston is out for the rest of the season with the ACL tear that also has some MCL damage. Taysom Hill had been out over the course of the last 3 weeks due to a concussion that he suffered against the Washington football team. And now the New Orleans Saints are moving ahead with Trevor Siemian at quarterback. It is now official. Trevor Siemian will be the starting quarterback against the Atlanta Falcons. But of course, you should expect Taysom Hill, who did return back to full participation on Thursday's practice, yesterday's practice, to be heavily involved in the New Orleans Saints offense, even under center. A couple of folks from ESPN noting that Taysom did receive some snaps at center during practice. Nothing really out of the ordinary there, but this is exactly what we should expect, right? Taysom Hill, Trevor Siemian, who has experience in a two-quarterback system way back in college, this is what you're going to be seeing a bunch of up against the Atlanta Falcons. And obviously, against the Atlanta Falcons, it's a good team to have that situation and to undergo all of this because the Atlanta Falcons do not have a very good defense. They do not have a very good run game, and they have two weapons effectively on offense that have to be limited. We'll talk more about them, Kyle Pitts, Cordarrelle Patterson, as we get to our keys to victory coming up in a little bit. But when it comes down to this quarterback position, I know that a lot of folks are feeling very confident going into this, but I do want to temper expectations a little bit, a little tiny bit. I'll explain more and I'll explain why. But the only thing is that you're going in with your in-game quarterback two, but your in-season quarterback three. And so we should temper expectations a little bit based on the fact that we haven't seen Trevor Siemian start a football game since 2019. And then before that, 2017, where he went 5-5 with Vance Joseph, threw 10 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, all of that. Now you go 1 year before that, and he threw for 3,400 yards. He had 18 touchdowns to 10 interceptions and had 2,000-yard receivers in Demaryius Thomas as well as Emmanuel Sanders. But that, of course, was all the way back in the year 2016. So we're a little bit removed from that. So I say that not because I think Trevor Siemian is going to go out and fail. I think that the New Orleans Saints can and will win this game on Sunday with Trevor Siemian as their starting quarterback. But the reason why I bring it up is because what the New Orleans Saints can do this weekend is nothing short of impressive. And we shouldn't understate the complication that this team is navigating right now. Going to their third string quarterback, learning the same week that they're not getting their star wide receiver back, which probably plays in addition to Taysom Hill's absence over the past 3 weeks as he was recovering from that brutal hit that he took against the Washington football team. That probably also factors in that you don't have your big receiving guy that's coming back and that you sort of been hoping would be coming back. You weren't able to trade for anybody at the deadline. We'll talk more about that in a moment. So Taysom Hill is one of your best receiving options. And so having him be available for all of his roles as opposed to limiting him to one makes a ton of sense. Here's the big difference. You know, I mentioned the last 2 years that, you know, that Trevor Siemian started and played the majority of games. In those seasons, in one of which when he went, I believe it was 8-6, that was with Gary Kubiak, he went 5-5 with Vance Joseph. The difference is Sean Payton. The difference will always be Sean Payton here in New Orleans. There will always be a chance for this team as long as Sean Payton is the head coach. And so that's the only reason why I kind of temper expectations a little bit. Not because I expect this team to go out there and disappoint on Sunday, but because if this team doesn't go out there and disappoint on Sunday, they deserve more than just a pat on the back. And Sean Payton deserves more than just a pat on the back for winning with what will be the fifth quarterback to start in this New Orleans Saints offense since the 2018-2019 seasons, where you've had Drew Brees, Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, and then now Trevor Siemian. It's nothing short of impressive. So I don't want to undersell what the New Orleans Saints are about to do or are about to try to do on Sunday against a division rival, Atlanta Falcons, who again are a weak team, but it's still a division rival that always plays you tough and will always play you tough. So we'll talk about what the Saints need to do to get that win in just a moment. But real quick, I also want to circle around to the other big story floating around the NFL and particularly floating around New Orleans right now, and that's Odell Beckham Jr. Could the New Orleans Saints make a move to get Odell Beckham Jr.? Well, they tried before the trade deadline, and in order for them to get it done, they were going to give a nice draft pick to the Cleveland Browns in exchange for the Cleveland Browns eating some of the salary, sort of restructuring his contract, knocking him down to like a guaranteed minimum, basically, and then eating that money and then sending Odell Beckham Jr. to New Orleans. That's what New Orleans was trying to do, and they would have given up more, I imagine, more draft compensation based upon how much money Cleveland was willing to eat, right? More money Cleveland ate, the higher the draft compensation would have been for New Orleans. But all in all, Cleveland refused to do it. They didn't want to eat any of that contract. They didn't want to take on any of that money. Well, now they're eating all of that contract and they're taking on all of that money so that they could just kind of release him, right? He's going to be waived by the end of today on Friday is what all reports are sort of saying. So with that being the case, could the New Orleans Saints jump in and either claim Odell Beckham Jr. off of waivers, or do they have a shot at him in free agency? I think they would have a shot at him in free agency. They have a pretty good situation to pitch to him, right? I mean, you've got Taysom Hill. You have a winning team right now. You have a team that wants to run the ball, but that looks to pass the ball. They need help at pass catcher. He would be the legitimate and inarguable number one in the system. And of course, it's New Orleans. It's home for Odell Beckham Jr. So I think all of that works in their favor. However, with Cleveland eating so much of his contract now, there's a chance that he gets claimed on waivers, and the Saints are 23rd in terms of waiver priority. And there are a few teams that are ahead of them that would make a ton of sense, including the number one team right now in terms of waivers, which is the Detroit Lions. They need a massive amount of help. It just depends on how close they feel like they can actually really... Do they spend that time and spend that waiver priority and spend that money to bring Odell Beckham Jr. in the hopes that they can rebound their season, because they're not going to, they're winless. You can look at a couple of other teams that actually have wins on their record. You can look at maybe say the San Francisco 49ers, who are 12th, and there's some rumor that they might be interested. The Indianapolis Colts, who are 14th, the New England Patriots, who are 15th, and it takes a little while until you get down to the Saints at 23rd, and there are a few teams after the Saints, but it would be hard for me to believe that the Saints wouldn't put in a waiver claim if they really do knock his salary all the way down to the vet minimum. Because remember, that's an important detail. When you claim somebody off of waivers, think about the Saints a few years ago with Janoris Jenkins, you take on their contract, right? So that's one of the reasons why Cleveland is restructuring his contract before they waive him, so that it makes it easier for him to be picked up by other teams. And if he didn't clear waivers, Cleveland would have to pick up the bill on that money anyway, which is why Cleveland should have just traded him to New Orleans in the first place. We shouldn't even be here right now, but unfortunately we are. So is there a chance that the New Orleans Saints could walk away with Odell Beckham Jr.? Yes. He'll have to clear through waivers, and he'll have to agree to go to New Orleans, despite the fact that he might get some more substantial offers money-wise elsewhere. But in terms of playing time, opportunity, utilization, working with a coach that knows how to use him, all of that, New Orleans would be a pretty solid fit for him. And remember, if the New Orleans Saints do want to add somebody at wide receiver and they can't get Odell Beckham Jr., there are still a couple of options out there. DeSean Jackson was recently released, as well as John Brown, who remains a free agent as well. So the Saints could potentially end up finding another addition elsewhere if they want to add to that wide receiver room at all. However, we know how much Sean Payton does like the receivers that they do have in the building. But hard to make an argument against adding more talent on top of even a position where you believe is strong. So we'll see what the New Orleans Saints do here. You know, no matter what they do at wide receiver, it's not going to impact their game on Sunday. But Trevor Siemian, Taysom Hill, the decision at quarterback most certainly will. So let's talk a little bit about what the New Orleans Saints need to do to get a win. We've got that coming up for you as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints, which is brought to you by our friends over at McDonald's. Proudly serving community since 1965, McDonald's has always been more than just a place for a tasty and affordable meal. It's an unofficial community center for people to be able to relax, reconnect, do all of that. Come together over at your local McDonald's, a place where classmates can meet up for a study group, where you end up knowing that you have that dependable Wi-Fi that you can always rely on. And then, of course, unlimited supplies of fries, McFlurries, apple pies, all the good stuff there as well. I used to stop for apple pies all the time. That was a big thing for my mom and I. Made sure we always stopped off for those apple pies. So win or lose, a place for teammates, competitors, home team, away team, where everybody can show up and recharge. So head over to your local McDonald's today so that you can refuel and reconnect. And hey, might as well catch a couple episodes of Locked On Saints while you're there as well. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. All right, Hooded Nation, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thanks, as always, for making us your first listen of the day. Remember, we're free and available on all platforms. And a big thank you to those of you that are finding the show for the first time as well. Thank you so much for taking the time to check us out, and hope that you'll be back with us every single Monday through Friday. So usually we do three keys on offense, three keys on defense. Today, with the big news around Trevor Siemian, the big potential news around Odell Beckham Jr., we're going to just kind of narrow it down to three keys. Offense and defense. So instead of going three each. So let's start off with number one here for me, which is run the ball more than 30 times. And I know that kind of sounds wild, but the New Orleans Saints have done this quite a bit, actually. They've run the ball more than 30 times in five games so far this season. And they've only lost one of those games. That was the game against the Giants, if I remember correctly. But the Saints 4-1 when they run the ball more than 30 times. And the Saints have done this quite a bit. I mean, they've been a very run-focused team so far this season. They've either run for under 100 yards or over 140. There's no in-between there. And I think that if you have Trevor Siemian in at quarterback and you're going to be switching in Taysom Hill, I imagine a bunch in this one, that you're going to easily hit that 30 rushing attempt mark as long as you're controlling the game, right? If you're in a situation to where you're playing from behind because, you know, Atlanta strikes first or Atlanta strikes early or Atlanta strikes often, then you're going to end up putting yourself in a situation to where you have to throw the ball back into this game, and you have a brand new starting quarterback in that situation who's a veteran, don't get me wrong, but you can control this game a little bit more if you're able to do it with your bread and butter, which is the run game and then the defense over on the defensive side. So that's going to be a big thing for me over on this offense, utilizing Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, Dwayne Washington, if he's healthy and able to come back for this game. And then, of course, Taysom Hill to run the ball more than 30 times. If the Saints can do that, it means that they're controlling the game, right? They're controlling the game clock. They're controlling the time of possession. They're doing all of that, which they would absolutely need to do in order to be able to put up that many rushing attempts. So look for the Saints to try to establish the run early, maintain the run quarters 1-4, not bail on it like they have seen their opponents do. And I think that that would benefit them in this game, especially at home as well. Now, the flip side of that is that they have to be able to control the big plays. Now, we talked about this a little bit with Aaron Freeman yesterday. If you want more of that, you can go back to our Crossover Thursday episode. Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons was on the show, and we talked a bit about what each of these teams needs to do. He does not feel very confident about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm feeling more confident about the New Orleans Saints, especially now that they know what their quarterback situation is and then are able to plan for that with that moving forward. Not that the quarterback situation is one better than the other, but just knowing what the plan is and being able to utilize that and build a game plan around that better sooner than later. So when it comes down to what the Saints defense needs to do in this one, I look at limiting the big plays because, again, Atlanta, unlike New Orleans, is not a team that puts together double-digit 5-6 minute play, double-digit play 5 or 6 minute drives. They just don't do that. They are a team right now, because they don't have a run game, because they don't have a defense, that's relying very much on the big play. They're relying on Cordarrelle Patterson to score three touchdowns. They're allowing on, you know, Kyle Pitts to go up and make some contested miraculous catches and things like that. So you have to eliminate that from their game because it's the only thing that they've got. They don't really have this sort of meticulous carve you apart offensive attack right now. No Julio Jones. Calvin Ridley has indefinitely stepped away from football right now while he rightfully deals with his own personal stuff and everything, and good for him. And so right now, what they have are a couple of big play machines, but not really the mechanism to churn them out. And the New Orleans Saints have this phenomenal defense that they've had so far this season that had a scare at the beginning of the week with Malcolm Jenkins not participating in practice, but he was back and limited on Thursday. We'll see what his status is later on today, but the Saints have everything that they need to be able to limit what Atlanta would be relying on, which are those big plays. And at the same time, don't give them a run game out of nowhere. Don't give them that short, meticulous, you know, long drive building passing game at any point during this one as well, right? Let them try to play to their strengths, but take their strengths away. And the final key for me, I'm going to stick on the defensive side here, and it's continue to get pressure on Matt Ryan. The New Orleans Saints get pressure on Matt Ryan, unlike they get pressure on any other quarterback. John Hendricks took to Twitter not too long ago. This was at John J. Hendricks, who mentioned that the New Orleans Saints have sacked Matt Ryan 36 times in the past 4 years. That's a lot. That's a lot of times. And in fact, they've sacked him 63 times over the course of the 25 games that he has played against the New Orleans Saints. And as we know, Cam Jordan has more sacks against Matt Ryan than any other defender has against any other quarterback. So the Saints simply need to maintain that. Matt Ryan's only been sacked 12 times so far this season, and that's one of the fewest totals in the NFL. It's actually the same as the New Orleans Saints have given up so far. And you know, you're talking about teams like the Bears who have given up 30, other teams that have given up, you know, 29, 25. So Atlanta's not high up there. So you have to win against this offensive line in Atlanta. And the New Orleans Saints, or that Atlanta is going to bring to New Orleans. And the New Orleans Saints have proven that they can do that time and time again. Now, just keep it going. Because we've seen sort of a resurrection of the Saints pass rush over the course of these last few games. Certainly, they'd like to keep building against that, against one of their favorite targets in Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. Speaking of Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons, we've got Doug Mouton here from WWL TV. He's going to talk to us about what the Saints need to do to send Matt Ryan and those Atlanta Falcons out of New Orleans in our Falcons hate week, out of New Orleans with a loss. We're also going to talk a little bit more about the Saints quarterback situation. We recorded this before Trevor Siemian was named the starter, but you still get the good information about why it would make sense for Trevor Siemian to be named the starter, as well as what the New Orleans Saints could be interested in when it comes to Odell Beckham Jr. and how they're trying to figure out this wide receiver situation. We've got that and much more coming up for you. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at BuiltBar.com, the best tasting protein bars on the market. The protein bars that taste like a candy bar. There's simply no protein bar better out there. And I'll tell you what, you've got Thanksgiving right around the corner. I love Thanksgiving. All the great things that come with it, food, treats, and plenty of them. But maybe you want a nice little dessert as well that's not full of calories, it's not full of sugar, all of that. Well, it's the perfect time for Built Bars in that case. Treat Built Bars as your new holiday dessert. That way you can feast on something delicious and feel pretty dang good about it. So you think about a slice of pie, which is upwards of about 300 calories or whatever. But then that's on the low end. So you think about Built Bars instead, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar with plenty of proteins. You can go for a raspberry Built Bar. You can go for a coconut Built Bar, coconut almond, whatever it is that you want. You're talking low calorie, low carb, low fat, but high in protein, high in fiber, and covered in 100% chocolate. So you can't pass these up. There's nothing like a Built Bar sale on Black Friday, by the way, speaking of Thanksgiving. So mark your calendar because Black Friday is going to be a huge event with lots of surprises. So go to built.com. And for right now, use that promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, so you can get 15% off of your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 at built.com. And I want to also recommend that you go and check out betonline.ag. Right now, the New Orleans Saints favored -6.5. That line moved from -6 to -6.5 after they learned that they weren't going to be getting their starting quarterback, Jameis Winston, back for the rest of the season, that Michael Thomas, their star wide receiver, wasn't going to be returning for this season as well. So there's a lot of trust and faith around Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints. If you feel that trust and faith, BetOnline.ag is a great place to get in on that Saints action. If you don't like betting on your favorite team, well, don't worry. They've got a brand new interface for you just for the beginning of basketball season. So you can get in on all the basketball odds, the NHL odds, and everything else going on around as well, including even your favorite Vegas casino games also. And I'm going to tell you how to get a 50% welcome bonus as well. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to receive that bonus on your very first deposit. Basketball, football, everything that you're interested in, as well as amazing offers all throughout that 2021 season. So BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place all of your bets on all of your favorite sports. So don't wait. Head over to betonline.ag where the game starts. All right, everybody, wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints with our good friend Doug Mouton at DMoutonWWL on Twitter from, of course, WWL TV, coming through to join us to help us wrap up the week. Doug, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, hey, Ross. Always a pleasure to do it.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to have you here. And you know, look, it's been an action-packed week for the New Orleans Saints. Let's start off with the biggest piece of news, because it's the quarterback spot. Jameis Winston out for the season, ACL tear as well as MCL damage. What does this mean for the New Orleans Saints? Where could they potentially go next at the quarterback spot?
Yeah, look, first of all, it's a shame because I think Jameis Winston and Sean Payton were both beginning to figure each other out. You saw in a quarter and a half, Jameis Winston was terrific. Look, the Saints' lack of wide receiver, of quality wide receivers, played a major role in Jameis getting hurt. He had to run four times in the first quarter and a half. Obviously, it bit the Saints. All of those were the right decision for Jameis to run, and it was on the play that he got hurt. You put your quarterback in danger enough, and sometimes bad things happen. So it just stinks, because Jameis is a fun guy to cover. He's positive. He's energetic. He's upbeat. I feel bad for him, and it's just a shame. But it's football, and people get hurt, so you move on. Look, I think there are actually two schools of thought, and I think both of them you could make a case for either guy to quarterback. For one, Taysom Hill, to me, is one of your three best offensive weapons. And I don't mean from the quarterback position. I mean from running back, receiver, tight end. When you're in passing situations and you run five guys out on routes, it could be any combination of the positions. I think the Saints, obviously Alvin Kamara is an elite NFL weapon. The next two best weapons on the Saints offense this season have been Deontay Harris and Taysom Hill. And obviously they are very different. And you saw what a huge difference the two of them not being on the field made in Seattle. The Saints just didn't have any weapons to count on outside of Kamara. And you saw it just getting Deontay back, how much that helped this past week against Tampa Bay. Okay, my point is, you can make a case to start Trevor Siemian in that you are so limited in offensive weapons that you need Taysom Hill as a weapon. And the difference in quarterback play probably isn't so great. But the difference in not having Taysom Hill as one of your offensive weapons is a big difference. So that, to me, is maybe the biggest case for Trevor Siemian, is that you lose Taysom with the other things. So Taysom Hill is almost penalized at quarterback by what he can do other than quarterback. But that's who he is, and he makes a lot of money based on being that guy. I also think you could make a case that maybe the Saints' best path to win as many games as possible is to play Taysom Hill at quarterback, use obviously Alvin Kamara and now Mark Ingram, and throw back to 1970s Oklahoma and run the ball a bunch. And I mean that sincerely. Like, you could make a case that this team is built to run it and run it a lot. And Taysom Hill could be, if you gave him the chance to be that guy, he could be, unlike Lamar Jackson, but a Lamar Jackson type talent running the ball. Taysom Hill does have a shotgun arm. He can throw it. He has not been very accurate in his career. And he doesn't have, the way I would describe Taysom Hill as a quarterback, he doesn't have great volume control, meaning he can let loose 110 miles an hour when it's appropriate and sometimes when it's not appropriate. And anything can sail over receivers, and he's going to throw some interceptions. That's going to go with the territory with Taysom Hill. Right. But I think you could make a case, and I think Sean Payton could win games with either of these guys at quarterback. I do want to say there's no doubt that this is a step down from Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston is a better player at quarterback than either of those guys. It's not close. It may not be from a 10 to a 2 difference, but Jameis Winston's clearly better than either of these two guys at quarterback. So you're not going to be as good. You got to figure it out. I do think if you play Trevor Siemian at quarterback, all the short yardage packages, Jameis Winston, I mean, Taysom Hill runs one of the great red zone packages in the NFL. He's still going to get those snaps, and he's still going to get some snaps. If I had to guess, and I'll say this, I guessed wrong in 19. I didn't think it would be Teddy. I thought it would be Taysom. Then I guessed wrong in 20. I thought it would be Jameis and not Taysom. So I've never guessed this right. Sean Payton has always outguessed me. If I had to guess, I'd say this week it would be Trevor Siemian. So that probably means it's going to be Taysom Hill. But I do honestly think you could make a case for either guy. And I think Sean Payton can win games with either guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of this stuff sort of gets multiplied quite a bit when you also learn that Michael Thomas isn't going to be coming back for the rest of the season as well. You talked about what Taysom Hill brings you outside of the quarterback position, knowing you're not going to get Michael Thomas back. I imagine that makes that part of the equation all the more weighty going into making this decision as well.
Yeah. I mean, look, you've got to take it all into consideration. You're not going to have Michael Thomas, which to me, if that's going to favor anyone, it favors them equally, because running the ball becomes what you do best. You're playing with a limited set of weapons. And look, I guess the one thing that we've seen in the last 2 weeks that maybe is the good thing about all this is we're starting to settle on who the Saints are going to have. For 8 weeks, we talked about who's coming back and who's out. You know, Michael Thomas coming back, and, you know, Teron Armstead and Eric McCoy coming back, and Marcus Davenport and David Onyemata back. Well, now we've sort of got all the pieces in place. You've got a good matchup with Atlanta at home that you should be able to win if you can play pretty well. So it's a good week to start really figuring out who you are. Especially on offense, because it's a new set of standards. The one thing you do have is you've got Alvin Kamara, who I literally would not trade for any back in the NFL. Although I will say this, he's still top four in touches, and the other three now, including Derrick Henry, have all missed games for injury. You keep getting him this many touches, and keeping him for 17 games would be a miracle at this rate. So we'll see if that can change, but man, on a team that's so limited with weapons, it's hard not to give him the ball 25 times a game.
Yeah, it could be another argument in favor for the run-heavy offense that includes Mark Ingram and Taysom Hill, for sure. The Saints have some question marks in terms of where they're going to go next at quarterback. We know that it's going to stay close to the vest until it absolutely has to be out there. We know the way that this organization tends to deal with those types of situations. We know, no Michael Thomas for this season. But to me, it still feels like there's a lot of good pieces on this team, particularly in the run game and on the defense. How do those pieces factor in as we wrap up here and take a look at this game up against the Atlanta Falcons? What needs to go right here for all of those pieces that still remain for the Saints to get that win this weekend?
Well, look, I do think the Saints get a pass rush, which they should be able to get. I think Marcus Davenport in his two games back has made a clear difference. I thought David Onyemata was okay this week. He wasn't the elite David Onyemata that we saw often last year. And I'll tell you, the one game that opened my eyes last year to David Onyemata was the Atlanta game in Atlanta, where Onyemata drew all of the double teams in that game, which I found interesting that Atlanta viewed Onyemata as the guy you have to overplay on the Saints defensive line. I'm waiting for the real David Onyemata to come back. And I'm sure it took him a week to get acclimated and sort of up to football speed. So I want to see him. Look, the defense was terrific across the board. I thought Malcolm Jenkins had his best game. He was back to limited on Thursday as we record this. So I believe he'll be playing. The defense should be at full strength. This defense is terrific. And there's no reason that they shouldn't shut down a very limited Atlanta offense. You're not going to have to score a lot of points to win. And I think the Saints, just Alvin Kamara gives you a chance to do that. So I love the Saints' chances against Atlanta. And look, the one thing about this season, and this was my number one takeaway from last week, was that this season is the great unknown. And it just keeps happening where every week we keep saying, let's figure this out. But along the way, they've won 5 games. And I think they're going to get to 6-2 while still trying to figure stuff out. So look, they could be in a lot worse shapes. And that defense has just been spectacular. So I see no reason that shouldn't continue because they're all healthy and they're all playing well.
Absolutely. Sure, it helps to go up against a familiar opponent as well in another division rival, the Atlanta Falcons. Doug, Appreciate you always coming through here. We love being visited by our family over at WWL here every week. You can follow Doug on Twitter at DMutonWWL. And of course, you can catch him on Channel 4. So appreciate you coming through, Doug. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Yeah, thanks, Ross. Happy to do it.
Always a pleasure to wrap up the week with all y'all. Thank you, as always, for supporting the show. Can't thank you enough. But we're not quite done here this week. We got something a little special. Let's hang.live. Let's hang.live. Go and get signed up. Sunday during the Saints and Falcons game, I'm going to be hanging out with Ricky Williams, Andre Rison, Andre Reed, Lance Moore is going to come through. You're going to have a few other legends that are going to be there as well. So make sure you come through, hang out with us, watch the game on TV, but join the party at letshang.live. Myself, Aaron Freeman, we're all going to be there. So come through, come hang out during the game. Going to be a ton of fun. Thank you again, as always, for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day. For your second listen, go check out the Peacock and Williamson NFL show so you can get everything you need around the NFL in less than 30 minutes. We'll have a ton left to cover even before the game. So keep up on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. And trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.